Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is from Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hechaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard this thing, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keep his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servant. The people of Israel, I confess the sin we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the command, decree, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. This is God's word.
I want to ask you a question. Why do you pray? Recently, I was talking to a young man who is going through a bit of a rough patch. And he said, "I feel very guilty." Why? Because it seems when I'm going through a very difficult patch, a rough patch, that's the only time I come to God and I pray. Now, if you and I are honest, we do this all the time, don't we? When there is a problem, our prayer life gets a big boost. In a difficult season, our spiritual life gets this huge spike up. The bottom line is, we pray more when we go through a difficult season, which is okay. On the outset, this may seem to be what's happening with Nehemiah in chapter 1. Nehemiah receives this very tragic news about his people back in Jerusalem. And verse 2, his people, he hears that his people are going through a terrible time. Their walls are broken down, the gates are burnt, and they are in disgrace. The city wall not only protected the people, but it gave people an identity. It provided people with an opportunity to be unique. So when the walls are down, the gates are down, the people are nothing. So when Nehemiah hears this, he's so sad, he's so overwhelmed. We are told in verse 3 that he couldn't even stand. His legs gave away and he had to sit. And then he weeps. Now, If you look back, if you look down to the end of this chapter, we find Nehemiah is this great influential person who is in the palace of this most powerful king. He was a cupbearer to the king, King Artaxerxes. Now the cupbearer, he's one of the closest people to the king, isn't he? He not only get to taste the food and the drinks that the king would drink, but he was the confidant. He was the person who would listen to royal secrets. He would get this opportunity to influence the king. But this powerful, influential man, when he hears this terrible news, he weeps. But then he does something that we all would do, right? He starts to fast and mourn and pray, and we are told in chapter 2, for 4 months. In his need, his sorrow, his problem, his devastation draws him near to God, which is perfectly fine. Because sometimes in God's amazing grace, his great wisdom, God exactly does that. He designs these seasons so that we can draw near to him. But as we have a bit of a closer look of this prayer in verses 5 to 11, we find 4 more reasons why Nehemiah drew near to God. Let's have a look at them. Have a look at verse 5. Nehemiah is drawn near to God because he sees God's majesty. He begins his prayer with a view of God's greatness, right? Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love and obey him. You see, Nehemiah knew exactly who he was talking to. He had no doubt whatsoever about the character of his God. God is the highest of the authorities, the higher than the King Artaxerxes that he was serving. He's the God of heaven. And he knows that this God has done great and awesome deeds. He may have remembered how God brought them out of Egypt, the great and mighty wonders that he performed, the parting of the Red Sea and the River Jordan. And he remembers that God has this unfathomable love and mercy to those who love him. You see, in verse 6, it is to this God that Nehemiah brings his prayers on behalf of the Israelites. And so many times, if we look at our own lives, we are reluctant to come to God because we don't have a right view of God. We don't know about God's love, his wisdom, his power. We doubt about his goodness. We are worried about his will, and we so often think God as a man. And we expect God to work like a man. And friends, it is easy to pray with confidence when we have a right view of God. So friends, can I encourage you this morning to work on getting to know God better? Spend time reading his word. Spend time experiencing his goodness. That song that we sang earlier in our service. I want to know you more, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens. Make that prayer a reality in your life. The second reason what drew Nehemiah to God was his sin in verses 6 and 7. When we see the majesty of God, friends, the first thing that should happen to us is that we become aware of our unworthiness, of our unholiness to stand before God. You see, last week when we had a look at Isaiah chapter 6, this is exactly what happened to Isaiah, isn't it? When he saw the holiness of God, what does he say? God, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm no better than the people around me. And in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, when Peter, when he meets Jesus for the first time, he says something similar. He says, Jesus, just go away from me, because I am a sinful man. You see, that's what happens when we are sinful. We want to run away from God. We don't want to go to God. I don't know, my personal experience, and I'm sure it is your personal experience too, that when we have done something wrong, we don't want to face our parents. We want to avoid them as far as we can and as long as we can. And sometimes we do the same thing with God, don't we? When we have done something wrong, when we have sinned, we don't want to go to God. But have a look at verses 6 and 7. Here Nehemiah comes to God with his sin. He doesn't complain to God about others. No, he says, my household, we have sinned against you. I'm part of the problem, not just them. Nehemiah confesses, he admits that he and everyone else has done wicked things against God. They have disobeyed God. Not once, not twice, but for a long time. But why does he draw near to God with his sin? Because only God can wash our scarlet red like sin and makes us white as snow, isn't it? Only God can remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Only God could take away the shame and the guilt and the burden of sin away from us. So he is calling his nation back to God. Come with your sin and confess your sins. Because only God could forgive you. Only God could remove that shame and the guilt of your sin and forgive you completely. And this morning, friends, if you are someone who is crushed by the weight of your sin and the guilt of your sin is so crushing you, come to him. Let him lift you up. Let him cleanse you thoroughly. Let him forgive you completely. Let him take away the guilt and the shame of your sin. And we hear the words of John in 1 John chapter 2, don't we? If we say we have no sin, we lie. But the good news is if we confess our sin, our God is faithful and righteous and he will forgive us our sins and he will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Do you hear that invitation? Draw near to God with your sin so he could forgive you. And the third reason why Nehemiah draws near to God is God's faithfulness to his covenant. In verses 8 to 10, Nehemiah reminds God. Now, I don't think God needed any reminders. I think this is to remind himself and the people who would be reading this perhaps a few hundred years ago, people who are reading this today, like you and me. He wants us to remember the covenant that God had made with his people. That God is faithful. See, this covenant that he made with Abraham, with Moses, with David, it specifically said, if you disobey me, I'm going to scatter you all throughout the nations. And right now, this is what the people of Israel were experiencing, being scattered. Their temple is lost. Their land is lost. Their friends have died. They were slaves. It would be really hurtful and painful, but this is a painful reminder that our God keeps his covenant. But then the very next verse, isn't it? Verse 8, we are told, verse 8 or 9, we are told that this very same God had promised in his covenant that when you obey him, when you return to him, when you love him with your heart and soul and mind, that God would leave no stone unturned. He would not stop until he has brought you back from wherever you are, from the furthest horizons. He would bring you back to his place. Why would God do that? Because he is faithful to his people. He is faithful to his people whom he has redeemed by his powerful hand. And these are the people that he has made a covenant with. And those who are reading these words after Nehemiah's time should remember the reason why they were saved, the reason why they returned from the exile, the reason why they are safe now is not because they had some merit, not because they have been faithful. No, God has been faithful to his covenant. Later today, we are going to take part in communion. Remember the words Jesus said when he took the cup? And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. A new relationship. And he said, whenever you drink this, whenever you do communion, it is a reminder of this new relationship that we have with God. The relationship where God has bound himself to us through Jesus. We are reminding ourselves whenever we take communion of God's faithfulness in saving us through his son Jesus. Remind ourselves that we are God's covenant people. Well, he will no doubt discipline us because he is our father, but he loves us. And he cares for us and he wants to spend eternity with us because we are his covenant people. Because when we forget that we are God's covenant people, that we have a covenant with God, when we forget the cost of this covenant, friends, we begin to wander away. We begin to drift. We begin to forget that we are loved by God. We begin to forget that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We must draw near to God because God is a faithful God who keeps his covenant forever. And the final reason why Nehemiah draws near to God is that Nehemiah himself finds that he is powerless to do anything. In verse 11, Nehemiah brings his personal request to God. He wants to go and talk to the king about his problem, but he asks God to give him success today. He wants God to give him favor before this man who is the king that he is serving. As you saw already, Nehemiah is this very influential, powerful person in the presence of this powerful king. He could have gone directly to the king and asked for his favor, but he doesn't do that. Why? Because he realizes one thing that the people of Israel had forgotten. One thing that you and I so easily forget. That without God, we are nothing. No amount of money, no amount of power, no amount of influence, no amount of education is going to do anything. If we don't have God, we are zilch. We are nothing. We are zero. And Nehemiah knew this so very well. And he found himself weak and powerless and incompetent before the king without God. So he knew only with God he can be successful. He knew what the King Solomon wrote in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord protects the city, the army soldiers, the watchmen, they're just wasting their time. The Apostle Paul said something similar in Philippians chapter 3, didn't he? He said, everything I have, the pedigree, the education, the status, the money, everything that I have is nothing compared to what I have in Christ Jesus. And he said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I am happy to be weak and powerless because I have Christ's power in me. When I am weak, I am strong. To the Romans in chapter 8, he says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Which means, friends, it is perfectly okay to feel weak, to feel tired, vulnerable, incompetent, powerless, and then turn up to God because, you see, in God, He is waiting to make us strong. In God, He is waiting to sustain us. He's waiting to make us powerful. He's waiting to guide us and provide for us when we can't. So friends, by all means, draw near to God when you are weak and when you have a need, when you have a problem. But as you do that, as you draw near to Him, may you find Him to be a majestic God, the God of heaven and earth. May you find Him to be a God who forgives you completely when you confess your sins. May you find Him to be a faithful God who is faithful to His covenant forever. And may you find Him to be a God who won't cast you away because you are weak, but who will strengthen you, who will walk with you, who will give you His grace and His peace and His goodness to go with you. Our great God of heaven, we thank You because You are a great and awesome King. And we thank You that You are a forgiving God. And we thank You, You are a faithful God. And we thank You this morning that You are a powerful God who is powerful when we are weak. So help us, Father, to draw near to you. Help us to find you sufficient for all our needs. We ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.